Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Boomer and Geo on The Fan and the CBS Sports Network.
Coming to you live from the Built for Tough studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on The Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you're on the free Odyssey app, good Friday morning. Yes, a feel-good Friday. Boomer still out. Jerry back from Minneapolis. He is in studio this morning. What's up, Jerry? How are you?
Gee, what's up? Not going to lie. Kind of wish I was still in Minneapolis. But
really? Why?
Oh, well, because Rutgers still be playing. I just thought,
yeah,
like Minneapolis.
You get on the bus yesterday. I had a run back from the show from WCCO. Get on the bus, and then across the street from us, I think it was the Minnesota marching band started playing, and they were heading over to the arena. I want to go to the arena.
A sad flight home.
I want more games.
Yeah, sad flight home is no fun when you're involved in a college program.
Yeah, such a finality to it.
Yeah. I mean, I the saddest flight I ever had was when I was with the Pitt football program, and it was the year that Notre Dame was number one. They ended up playing in the championship game against Alabama, getting killed. But that was the Manti Te'o team. Who else was on? Golic Jr. was on that team. I forget. There's a couple other guys who were on that team. They were a big team. They were ranked number one going into, or at least that game. And Pitt had a great shot to win. So it was, they scored a touchdown to tie, or there was a field goal that would win it just as time was expiring or whatever it was. And the kicker missed the kick to win the game, and it was like a 20-something yard kick. It was actually, and the kid's name was Chris Blewett, which was unbelievable.
Who ended up being an NFL kicker.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, so he, it turned out later that there were too many men on the field for Notre Dame. So
Pitt, I remember this.
Yeah, that's right. And they never called it. It was so, and Pitt was unranked. They like won six games that year. That would have been one of the signature wins
in their history.
Yeah, in the last probably 20 years. Yeah. Yes. I mean, they used to have Tony Dorsett and Dan Marino and so on and so forth. Hugh Green, but you know, in the last 20 years, that would have been the big wins. And that that plane ride home after,
it can be eerie, can't it?
Blowing that game, like I felt like I couldn't breathe half the time because someone was going to look at me sideways. So,
well, and that's when you get on these buses, as you know, after games, after a loss, it's kind of like just sit there, shut up, don't say anything, and be left alone.
Yeah, because you really, I mean, we had a great broadcast, but I was bummed out about the game, too. I wasn't going to sit there all depressed about it.
Have you ever been part of a bus ride back where the bus stops and the coach gets up to just tear into the team?
No, I have actually, no.
Those are rough. Those are rough.
Paul Christ was the coach at that time, and he was not a big tear into the team guy. Like he was, so no, I did not experience that, but I would have loved to.
And then the couple of times I have experienced it, the coaches were not tearing to guys either, but the performance was so poor they weren't going
to
let him sleep on it. And it's just like you sit there and it brings you back to, I remember as a kid playing Pop Warner football.
Oh, yeah.
Our coach just screaming at us and make us rev. Like it brings you right back to being like 11 years old again. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah. What my high school football coaches, and in no way am I saying this is negative, my high school football coaches would rip us up and down every single day. And I actually appreciate them for that. But yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, like, if I saw a coach ripping into a team, I'd have PTSD about it, too.
Yeah, it's some feeling, that's for sure.
Yeah. So, I'm a little... I'd stayed in a hotel last night in the city. I was out to dinner later than I would be out to dinner last night, so I sound like it. I feel like I sound like I've stayed in a hotel and was out.
Just got into four, right?
No. No, more like 10:30, I think, okay. which is way too late for a night before a show, but... So I ended up, well, yesterday I played golf with CeeLo in the afternoon. No nap, 70 degrees, I'm just trucking through. Then I meet my buddy Andrew Filippone, the afternoon host in Pittsburgh at my old station. He's one of my best friends. And then he was on a panel at this Barrett Sports Media Conference.
Boy, a lot of panels at this thing.
Yeah, a lot of panels. So he's on this, like, Syracuse, we did great. Pat on the back panel, I guess. So, like, a DA formerly of CBS Sports Radio. So, DA is the moderator. And then Nick Wright of FS1 is there. Danny Parkins, who is the afternoon guy in Chicago, he's there. Andrew's there. And then I am now, like, brought into their mix last night. And we all went out to dinner together. DA was not invited, which is interesting.
Mm.
I thought maybe
that shows something.
I guess they're not close with DA. But anyway, it wasn't my invite unless right. It was theirs. So, like, you know, I was like, okay, well, he's not there. So, all right. Of course, first off, it's funny because the way that the menu at this place is like they suggest it's like a family style thing. They suggested. So this was like one of those, you know, how many people does it take to screw in a light bulb thing? You get four analytic talk show hosts trying to pick a family style dinner. Like, that took like a half an hour.
Sure it did.
Like, everybody's stating their case for which dumplings, you know? It was like it was going on forever. But then it was just inevitable that one of us or two of us were going to get into a sports discussion, right? Or topic discussion. Because, you know, it's like you get two wild horses together. At some point, they're going to race. So we end up talking about the Aaron Rodgers thing, right? And then Danny and Andrew, they kind of sit out. You know, they'd like hurl a three from, you know, occasionally. But it's basically Nick and I going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth on this Aaron Rodgers thing.
I have other things I can do. I can go
then
get
go
audio.
Freaking
right.
Do them.
Very
yeah.
Good.
So it was kind of like it didn't get that bad. But like it got to a point where like Nick was like, I don't want to have this discussion anymore in a restaurant. I was like, okay, fine, good. Like, that's, you know, whatever. We could stop and we can lick our plates clean and we'll be okay. But so there, obviously everybody's still talking about this and Aaron Rodgers releases a statement. I was in the car driving back to the city yesterday when I heard Evan read the statement from the Aaron Rodgers camp and Aaron Rodgers, and he believed that it was more political in nature in the sense that he thought it was crafted by somebody in the RFK Jr. campaign because he's so serious about this presidential thing. And he didn't think this was Aaron Rodgers himself. He just thought it was coming from a campaign. And like this whole him being the VP thing is gotten so out of control that I just wish it would end now, because I truly believe, and I could be dead wrong, and I could be sitting here in 2 weeks when RFK Jr. announces this and be dead wrong about it. I don't believe there is a single percent, 1% chance that he is going to be RFK Jr.'s running mate. He's not. So if anybody who is saying, well, the reason Aaron Rodgers is being covered this way, or the reason this was the sticking point last night between Nick and I probably shouldn't even, he's not here to defend himself, but I'll give you his point.
He's got a show, he'll be fine.
So, right, but his point was, I was dismissing a lot of the Aaron Rodgers stuff because I didn't believe that he was actually going to be the vice president or a vice presidential candidate. So his point was, well, if he was a vice presidential candidate for someone who actually could win, would you have a problem with it? And I'm like, but he's not. So why would we, you know, we're just going around and around mm-hmm. and around and around because of that. So my big point is the fact that, like, everybody is taking that
him being on RFK Jr.'s list changes everything when, in fact, he's never going to be the vice presidential candidate. And then on top of that, RFK Jr. is probably going to get 10 or 15% of the vote. And people think, oh, that could swing the election, this and that. But he's not going to be on the ticket.
Right. So, for one, he's not even on the ballot yet. That's number one. And he's got a lot of work to do to be able to get onto the ballot. Number two, Rogers hasn't said a damn thing, which is why all of this stuff is mind-numbing. We're talking about it like this been announced already. It hasn't. It's all off the article that said he's at the top of his list. So I went to McAfee to watch, because I figured he would talk about it.
Yeah.
I figured, let me see what they say. And I figured AJ Hawk might know. And you know, the only thing they basically offered up was, it's Aaron Rodgers. Wouldn't be shocked if this is a real thing. Wouldn't be shocked if it's a media ploy from RFK Jr. And even AJ Hawk said, it's Aaron. Until we hear from him, we don't know. And to me, it stops there. Until he says something, we have no idea. We're going round and round in circles about something that could be nothing.
Right. And the it's Aaron thing, we don't know, can apply to his thought process, his views on things, where he is in the off season. Like, all of that is true. But in no way has Aaron Rodgers made any indication himself that he is not committed to continuing to play football for the Jets. And I just don't believe, and I could have egg on my face, but I do not believe that he is going to skip a football season or a portion of a football season to pursue this. I don't believe that he will do that. So, like, where's Aaron? We don't know. He could be on an ayahuasca retreat. He could be in a darkness retreat. He could be here. He could be there. Yes, that applies there. But when it applies to, is Aaron Rodgers going to skip a football season to be on a independent party ticket for president? I kind of do know Aaron Rodgers is going to be, and he's going to be in Florham Park throwing passes to Garrett Wilson.
So you're not buying Evan with the Alan Lazard news?
Which, no, I am not. I'm not buying that either. I heard that yesterday, too. No!
Hey, man,
everybody's going crazy.
If anybody doesn't know what I'm talking about, when the news came out that they will seek a trade for Alan Lazard,
right.
Evan theorized that that's because Aaron Rodgers called Joe Douglas and said, I'm running for vice president. I'm not playing football this year.
Yeah. No. Yes, I did. I heard him say that as well.
Oh, man.
And obviously the counter to that is that Alan Lazard was a total bust. And he did not even try last year. He had to be benched during a game. And I do believe that Joe Douglas and the Jets, they gave Aaron free rein last year to put his fingers all over the roster. And this year, they want to take some of that power back. Like, that's what I think that's about. And you know, maybe they bring in bacteria. But, if they trade Alan Lazard and don't sign David Bakhtiari, that to me says that Joe Douglas says, Aaron, you're the leader. We want you to be here, but I can't just bring in your buddies because it didn't work last year.
Right. We tried it once. It failed. We're moving on to our plan, which you are fully involved with.
I mean
you can't run the franchise.
Yes, but you can't. Right. We're not bringing in Randall Cobb, Alan Lazard, Mason Crosby, everybody else that your Tim Boyle, David Bakhtiari, all these schlubs who are over the hill and can't play anymore. And Alan Lazard was one of those guys who actually could have played, and then he came in, and he might have been one of the worst out of all of them.
I thought Tiki made a great point yesterday. He said it's such a shame that all of this stuff, all of it, you know, whether it's Alan Lazard, the Aaron Rodgers stuff, anything Jet-related, it's a shame this didn't come out last week, because when you had Joe Douglas had to speak at the Combine, you could have at least got answers or at least reaction from some of it, whereas right now, we won't hear a word, I don't think, from Florham Park until the minicamps start.
Yeah, you're right. I agree.
Unless Rob Saleh texts Joe and Joe lets us know.
Yeah, and apparently they're back together, as you heard yesterday.
Yes, I did. I heard that.
The Omaha Steaks situation. So I did not get that picture from Izzo yet. I knew he was working on it yesterday, but did not get the picture. So, I mean, I guess that the main thought that I have this morning is that every tentacle of this discussion is starting from the body of Aaron Rodgers is a legitimate vice presidential candidate. And I don't believe that to be true.
Oh, I no, that doesn't shock me. I could totally see RFK Jr. wanting him. But the idea that he's going to do it, that's a completely different discussion.
Right. Right. So, yes, I do think that RFK Jr. is using his celebrity friend in Aaron Rodgers to help get attention to his campaign.
And get on the ballot.
And then, and this is another thing that, that as we're referencing Evan a lot here, but another thing I listened to Evan say yesterday that was right was, think about how this worked. Sal didn't know who RFK Jr. was.
I know. I
a couple of days ago, and now he says he's going to vote for him. That is a man here who is the perfect example of why you would put Aaron Rodgers or float Aaron Rodgers' name. So he's no dummy. He knows what he's doing. But the, to think that it's actually going to happen, you know, and like, I don't know. I said this before. I said this yesterday, and people keep saying I can find you examples, but I haven't been, they haven't shown me examples where someone, a private conversation was reported about 10 or 11 years later. Now, I've seen sexual assault allegations. I've seen, though, like, crimes that, you know, people held for a while. I'm talking about something somebody said. And I'm not saying it didn't happen. I want to see an example of that. Because this, to me, feels new. Whereas, like, someone, like, when you get, you start running for office and you're involved in politics, everybody's coming after you. They're combing through all parts of your life, whatever, and nothing is off limits. I know that. But, like, of all the things that people have been dragged down by or mudslung at, I don't have a single example of someone holding on to an out-of-context conversation that they had a decade ago at the Kentucky Derby coming out in this way.
Especially without a recording of it. Especially.
Right. And I keep bringing up, like, okay, Donald Trump and Billy Bush, that was a thing. Grab her by the schmussy. Right. You knew that whole thing.
Oh, boy. Yes, I got
you. Know what I'm saying?
I do, yes.
So that was audio of that.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
So, like, and I keep, like, and I'll, like, people tweet me if you got examples of it. But I keep bringing up that I don't, this is new to me. And everybody goes, I'll give you examples. And then they never do.
Well, I will tell you this. Going forward, especially in this day and age we're living in where clicks are everything, be careful. You know, it's a lesson for every, not just us, it's for everybody. Because no matter what you say now, there could be a camera on you, there can be a phone recording you. And even if there's not, it's almost as if someone just puts something out there, it's received and viewed as gospel. When, in fact, sometimes it's not even close to the truth. I mean, we're living in such a day and age where, you know, the social media can just go viral, as they say, that nothing surprises me anymore. Nothing. So the fact that it's 10, 11 years ago, that's a little bizarre. But at this point now, nothing is shocking to me.
And like, you want to tell me that people talk about, like, oh, this guy told me this guy told me that. And people talk about that amongst themselves? Okay, fine. But reporters? Like, I've never heard that before. Like, oh, now all of a sudden, 10 years ago. And then this whole, another thing that I can't process the other side of the argument is, well, it's more important for people to know now that he said this thing. So you're telling me it wasn't newsworthy? Like, so the Sandy Hook tragedy was what?
2012.
So 2012. So he said this in 2013, allegedly, according to Pamela Brown. So you're telling me that it's not newsworthy that one of the, I'll just be, you know, reserved, one of the top 10 most famous athletes.
Coming off a Super Bowl, I think. Right? Yeah, 2012 was the Packers in Dallas, was it not?
It was 2011 Super Bowl, 2010 season.
Oh, okay.
So he had won, won a Super Bowl 2 years prior, and the Sandy Hook tragedy happened a year before he said this. You're telling me that one of the top 10 most recognizable athletes in the world at that point, saying that to you was not newsworthy then? My ass, it was. So, like, or it wasn't. But now, because there's a snowball's chance in hell that he's going to be on a VP ticket right. with an independent candidate, that now's the time that this is important?
Now there's a political component to
that. That we learn this?
Right.
Come on, man. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'll look back at this and say, you know what, Greg, you were wrong about this thing.
No, I don't think so.
But I've been arguing about this for 2 days now, and I'm losing my voice, and I'm exhausted.
I will.
Off the air, on the air. I don't understand.
Yeah.
I mean, do those points that I brought up, do any of them sound outrageous at all?
No, and I'm also still not sure he said it.
Right.
That's the other part of it everyone's ignoring. I'm not saying he didn't. But I don't know that he did. He said, she said.
So that's the 12 years ago. The very crux of it. And then on top of that, it's like, what context was this in? You know what I'm saying? And as we said yesterday, I don't think it's a terrible thing to even float these things in any sort of situation. But when you're reporting on that, all these years later, it's just strange.
It's all about the he said, she said.
Bull crap. Yeah. All right. We'll get CeeLo in here. CeeLo brought a scratch golfer to our outing yesterday, a man named Armando.
Nice.
Who embarrassed me and Mike in Manhattan.
He was giving you shots, right?
He was, but he was so good that there was basically zero chance of beating this man.
So you got taken.
Me and Mike in Manhattan, we did not play well. I'm just saying that even if we did, this guy would have. He is the most unassuming looking person I've ever been around. Just real nice guy. Shows up there, shirt tucked in, little salt and pepper hair. Hey, I'm Armando. I work at Sirius with CeeLo. And then he's striping the ball off the tee 300 yards, throwing darts onto the green, and just with a little smile on his face. I'm like, what? CeeLo texted me, I have a friend who's pretty good.
Yeah, that I could bring. Better than pretty good.
Pretty good?
Yeah. When we come back,
yes.
And since he'll be here, I want to know if it's comparable to another golf story with a athletic legend.
Oh, okay.
All right, is that fair?
That is fair.
All right.
We will take that break, talk to CeeLo in just a couple of minutes. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. CeeLo is in here. You had a question for CeeLo, Jerry.
Well, I'm just wondering. I hear you and your buddy shoved it right in his keister yesterday on the golf course.
My buddy, I mean, I don't think I won a ton of holes.
Have you heard of, you know, Ryan Whitney, the former NHL player,
yeah.
Now part of Barstool?
Yeah.
So did you see the story about him playing golf with Michael Jordan? And I'm wondering if any of these quotes were thrown either way yesterday.
No, I did see, we never got to it yesterday. Marco had put some of that audio in, so maybe we can circle back to that.
Yeah, maybe. So I'm just wondering, as you're getting your ass kicked, Whitney's talking about playing Jordan in this event and what a trash talker he is, even on the golf course.
Oh, yeah.
And at one point, I guess Whitney claims to be close to a scratch golfer, like a 2 handicap
yeah.
or so, kind of like Armando, where he missed a putt and Jordan, who didn't speak to him for 6 hours while playing 35 holes. The first words uttered out of his mouth when he missed that putt was, "A scratch golfer, bitch, you couldn't scratch my wife's ass."
Oh my God, that's amazing.
He lost on because of that missed putt and then had to give Jordan the $10,000 for the lost bet. And he just walked
hit
away.
With that.
Oh my God.
Can you imagine?
Think
now,
about
this is a former NHL player.
Yeah.
So he's got some money, successful in his post-NHL career. But, I mean, my goodness, the amount of money that Michael Jordan has gambled on the golf course. Like, it's approaching, like, Phil Mickelson territory. Like, the stories you hear insane.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had to hand over $40 to Armando yesterday, not $10,000. That was a clean sweep.
Dude, I was so ignorant when it came to all the money, keeping track. I never played for money. So when you guys were throwing
out... You never play for money?
No, because I usually play with my dad.
Okay.
Like, I know what you're saying. Oh, you told me this guy's pretty good. I hadn't played with Armando in a couple years. So I did eventually get his handicap for you. So you did know going in what he was.
Yeah, but I didn't believe it.
Which was a 5.
Right. It was like a 4-point something. But I didn't... But when he said it, I was like, he's, you know...
He is very unassuming. You're right.
Usually when you get that low with the handicap, guys aren't lying about it.
Yeah.
I think when you're talking anywhere between 15 and 22, you might have some cheating going on. But when you're talking about guys that have handicaps 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, they can play.
Yeah, but I mean, I bet you in that moment, like when you just... Armando was about as tall as...
Me.
As CeeLo.
Yeah.
And he looked like he was a guy that was like, you know, golf sounds fun. I'll go out there and play for a little bit.
He kicked your ass.
That's his personality, though.
Right.
Yeah.
And shocking. Like, it was crazy. And I told you, he's like, I hope you had a good time. Like, afterwards.
And I was I'm never going to get invited back.
No, I'm like, no. I mean, obviously, I'm bummed out that we lost because everybody loves to compete and stuff, But I was like, no, I actually enjoyed watching you play. Like, you were that good. I was enjoying watching your shots. But
it's very free and easy. He's like very low key. Doesn't get too high or too low, and he just has a good time with it. Yeah,
I there was one bad shot he hit all day.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe two. One he hit into the road. Remember that one?
I did end up winning that hole.
Right. Yeah, that was the one.
He put it on the road, and then I actually made par.
Yeah, but there was like two of them, and I think he topped one.
Yeah. An approach shot.
Right, that was it. But other than that, everything, dunk, 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 whap, 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 putt, putt. It was just incredible.
Yeah, I don't think he three-putted all day.
No.
I had about 7 of them, maybe.
I had about 17. all right, CeeLo, what's going on over there?
All right, brought to you by The Farmer's Dog, fresh human-grade dog food delivered right to your door. Also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. You guys took care of the Aaron Rodgers post for me, so we don't need to do that again. So we kind of put a bow on that, at least for the time being, and thankfully that led to a much calmer warm-up show this morning, which was nice on a feel-good Friday. We don't want to be getting after each other again on consecutive days.
Yes, if it was Tuesday, you might have had another war on your hands.
Very possible.
Right? As the week goes on, by Friday, everybody's good.
Yeah, nobody wants to be
usually, sure. Always next week.
Right, all of next week, by the way. So we'll see what that brings. All right, late last night in Portland, the Knicks would open up their 4-game road trip with a win they had to have.
Brunson on the drive. Double team, has it knocked away, and then he gets knocked down. Brunson upset. Pass inside, deflected by Josh Hart. Who else? Ahead to Brunson. Goes inside, lays it up and in. Josh Hart does it again.
Mike Breen on MSG, a little bit of everything on that play there for the Knicks. Brunson had a 45-point night to lead the Knicks past the Trailblazers, 105-93. Nobody close to Brunson points-wise for the Knicks, though OG Anunoby did have 12 to go along with 9 rebounds on a night where he was both visibly and audibly bothered by that surgically repaired elbow, which you can hear a little bit here in these back-to-back play-by-play clips.
They want to force you to defend as many seconds throughout this clock as possible. As they sit on this lead.
Tap points for Brunson.
Two Anunoby yells there as he was grabbing the elbow on a shot. He went down to the floor at one point, went to the sideline. He was getting stretched out.
Who was that on the call with Breen?
That sounded like they're two different. It was from two different broadcasts. Sounded like Gus Johnson.
Gus Johnson,
right?
Yeah. So
one of the clips I saw floating around on Twitter, like you can hear Anunoby yell, was from I don't know what other... Does he do Portland games now? Or is it on nationally somewhere? He obviously had the MSG call with Breen.
I don't know.
Yeah, so it was just two spliced together where you could hear him yelling in the background. But afterwards, Tom Thibodeau, not too worried about it.
You know, there's going to be soreness. He played through it. He was fine. Medical looked at him. And, you know, there's going to be times that where it gets hit and we just got to keep going.
Which he did, and the Knicks improved to 14-2 with him in the lineup, and Anunoby himself kind of downplayed any concerns post-game, just part of the process. It's going to hurt randomly. He called it random more so than just, it's part of this process. Like, it's going to pop up here and there.
Not constant soreness.
Right, exactly. And asked about tomorrow night in Sacramento, he says he has no thoughts about not playing in that game, which is good to hear. A couple of football notes here. Alan Lazard reportedly made available in trade talks this offseason, but the
you
Jets
heard why, right?
are not actively shopping him. Yeah, I know. Evan, the theory from the afternoon show, So whatever you want to believe, his name is floating around out there. Also, Corey Davis is coming back to the NFL, wants to unretire and return. The Jets are going to apparently release him from the reserve retired list. I guess he could potentially return on a different con. I don't know exactly what the Jets are doing at wide receiver, but you do have that going on. Saquon Barkley officially introduced by the Eagles yesterday. Been an emotional week for Saquon and some members of the Giant fan base as well. He made sure to acknowledge that yesterday.
To the Giants fans that were hurt about me leaving, I got nothing but love and respect for all those guys and, you know, all those ladies and just the fans. For the last 6 years, they've been great to me, to my family, created so many memories. I don't think I really handled it the right way.
I assume he's referencing some of the social
media stuff. He was asked about
Tiki.
The way he... No, he wasn't asked about Tiki specifically. He was asked about why it was emotional for you leaving. And, you know, the fans seem to be bothered by you leaving, and that's how he referenced it. And shame on me, I didn't realize... I thought he was a New York kid, and I knew he was born here. I didn't realize he played high school football in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, and then went to Penn State. Yeah,
no, I knew that, but like, I didn't realize he was a Pennsylvania kid.
A lot of
kid.
Pennsylvania in Saquon.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. The Penn State stuff, yes, but...
And you got the tampering stuff with what James Franklin said.
Yeah, with his agent.
Saquon kind of tried to clarify that, so I don't know if the league will go anywhere with that. I know the Giants have had no comment on it. Speaking of the Giants, Seahawks GM John Schneider on Seattle Radio 710 out there, the Wyman and Bob show, talking about Drew Lock. Yeah, I'm just giving you the source of where it came from. So Drew Lock now of the Giants, and Schneider basically said, we wanted to keep him, but... the Giants apparently sold him on the opportunity that he could come in and compete as the starter there. So think about a guy that stepped in for Geno Smith when he got hurt last year, won that game. I think it was a primetime game. He gave that like emotional
post-game interview, right?
So it seemed like he had a good thing going in Seattle, but felt a better situation with the Giants to potentially get on the field. So we'll see what that brings come training camp. And Pat Leonard from the Daily News did confirm that and said it was 100% accurate what Schneider said on that show. Hmm. So he said he had multiple conversations on this exact topic with league sources today.
They drafted, man, I know you can never have enough quarterbacks because of the injuries, but they are going to have one crowded quarterback room if they draft one like we're expecting.
Yeah, I guess it sort of depends where they draft them, because if it's a, you know, fifth round, fourth round, sixth round, something like that, then it wouldn't be weird.
I mean, first round.
But yeah, and this is another one of those things I don't have a previous example of. A guy getting drafted in the first round and being the third string quarterback on a team? Like, that doesn't happen, does it?
You want to say second string, the backup.
Yeah, I mean, Patrick Mahomes did. Yeah. He sat, but he was not the third string.
Mm-mm.
So, like, that would be unprecedented if they ended up doing that. That's why this Drew Lock thing is really confusing me as to what the Giants are going to do at six.
Yeah, and then you have Rich Eisen coming out of the combine with the Giants are done with Daniel Jones. So,
I mean, they could get rid of Daniel Jones. We haven't heard a thing about that, and they would be really suffering with dead cap money. But then again, the Denver Broncos did something unprecedented in getting rid of Russell Wilson and cutting him and dealing with $80 million in dead cap spread out over the next 2 years. So I don't know. Maybe the Giants are thinking about trading or releasing Daniel Jones.
And as you're following along with the moves and the strategy and the idea that they may draft a quarterback high, it's sort of like, well, something's got to give.
That's
here.
What I'm saying.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. The Bears, with a splash last night, they're sending a fourth-round pick to the Chargers. They'll get Keenan Allen in there in Chicago to go along with DJ Moore as they're deciding what they're going to do quarterback-wise. Caleb Williams, of course, potentially in the draft. He's at the Players yesterday down there in Florida.
Yeah.
He followed Roy McIlroy around for a while, which was interesting because things got awkward between Rory, Jordan Spieth, and Victor Hovland after Rory put a second ball in the water on the second nine of his opening round. He still ends up shooting 65. Mm-hmm. He had like 10 or 11 birdies, something ridiculous like that. But this scene with the three of them talking about his drop went on for a good 10 minutes or so, and they laid out on the broadcast, and you could hear almost everything that they were saying. And sort of everything that drives you nuts about golf, if you're not a golf fan,
was
on display. But at the same time, some of it was pretty entertaining. And here's a snippet that sums it up.
To me, it's, I believe it crossed over the turtles back there. If it didn't land on above the red line, they're up there or it's back there. you know, splitting the difference. I don't.
Or is there is where you are a place where it's where it would have easily crossed? Like I'm saying, are you in the point?
Yeah.
Then that would be a safe spot on where it would have could have crossed, even if it crossed by the turtles, right? Is that right? I don't know.
Is that right? Yeah. I don't know. Nobody knew.
No one knew because they didn't have a camera shot of it.
They had a shot, but you couldn't see. Like you couldn't see
where
the ball.
It
bounced. You saw it bounce, right. But yeah. You couldn't see exactly where it bounced. And Spieth was referencing media members, and then the official said, "Well, there's no definitive evidence, so it's up to you guys. You guys figure it out." I mean. It is wild.
But what you said is so right. If you don't like golf, that was nauseating.
God. And I didn't, because we were out. What turtles? Were they real turtles?
I'm not sure.
They kept referencing the turtles back. I didn't know if that was something in the
in
water.
The lake
I don't
there,
know.
Yeah, and they've got the gators there as well, I think. So I
there
guess
were
they
actual, were. But turtles move.
I don't know if they were talking
can't
about
drop something by the turtles.
Live turtles or if there's like a something on display, like a... I don't know. Essentially like a sculpture or a structure. I don't know, man.
Strange, but funny.
Yeah. And then, of course, the round gets suspended by darkness. They got to complete this.
It took them 15 minutes to figure out where to hit the ball.
Exactly.
I like turtles.
Yeah. So Rory still ended up having a big-time round, and he is among the leaders at the moment. Somewhat good news for Yankees ace Gerrit Cole. So the second opinion on his right elbow reportedly revealed no tear. So for the time being, no Tommy John surgery, but he's going to rest it. You're looking at 10 to 12 weeks. I don't know if that's before he starts throwing or getting back into major league games, but for the time being, he's not out for the year, which is good news.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of Yankee fans are very nervous about information with injuries. I thought that this was truthful and transparent, and I think that you can believe everything that came out of it, and unless there's some sort of different setback that happens, you should expect him on that timeline. But I know how they've been burned before, whether it be Aaron Judge or anything else, but this was, for what was, the way this was trending, this was great news. For Yankee fans.
Yes. As far as opening day and the vacancy there, Marcus Stroman was offered the opportunity. He said thanks, but no thanks. Wants to stay on his routine.
Opener.
He was on schedule for the home opener.
I'm sorry. Right. That's where he wants to stay with.
Correct.
He doesn't
want to
do the opener in Houston.
Which he referenced weeks ago. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they were going to bump him up essentially from the 3 to 1 because they're starting in Houston and then they go to Arizona before they come back home. So... wasn't interested in changing his routine, which, you know, I understand these guys get hurt quick and, you know, take them out of their routine, out of whack. Next thing you know, you're on the IL, and obviously that's not what he wants to deal with. Quickly here, because I know we're running late, St. John's with the win over Seton Hall yesterday in the Big East Tournament, 91-72. They'll face UConn in the semifinals this evening as the Huskies took care of business yesterday. Then you got Providence and Marquette in the other semifinal. Here was Rick Pitino, short one, healthy respect for the Huskies, the defending champs already, of course. Maybe a little bit too much, though, as he told SNY's Nicky Lattarullo when handicapping the upcoming matchup.
You got to have... about 6 of their players get COVID.
In order to have a chance, essentially. So tongue-in-cheek, but he's basically, you know, setting the stage for, well, it's going to be a mountain for us to climb. But at least they're there, and they've not lost since that...
huge win for them,
infamous
obviously.
Infamous press conference now,
right.
Yes.
Huge win. They had to have that if they wanted any shot of being considered for the tournament, in my opinion, many opinions. So a nice little outing, or showing, rather, against UConn would help their case as well, not getting blown out, but... But yes, all right, John in Connecticut, quickly. What's going on, John?
Hey, just trying to clarify for you guys. I believe the turtles are the humps in the rough, like right near the water. You know how there's like
okay, I got
turtle shell,
like a turtle back, turtle shell. All right, I got you.
Yeah, no. I don't think that was the case. Yeah.
Okay. all right. Yeah. Gotcha, John. Thanks, man. Yeah, I'd never heard of that.
I hadn't either.
No one for me.
There you go.
And that's three guys that actually like and pay attention to golf.
What's with a turtle head is a thing, right? In like a
in golf?
Urban Dictionary.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know that you want to go there. Yeah.
Is that like a poop that's sticking out or something?
Now you did go
all
there.
Right. I just didn't. I wanted to know.
Eddie, yeah.
All right. What? Talk about all sorts of stuff here.
Yeah, that's
curious,
true.
I was trying to think because I heard tortoise shell. And I'm like, is that something? And it was turtle head. All right. Very good, CeeLo. We will see you next time.
Yeah.
Huh? It's Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough studio.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Odyssey celebrates Mother's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
So remember yesterday when it was right around this time or this break where JR Sport Brief, I believe his last name is Jackson, JR Jackson. I just know him as JR Sport Brief, but in the articles that I was reading about him yesterday, his last name was in there. Why would there be articles all over the internet about JR Sport Brief? Well, there was a Sports Minute that was played right before 7 o'clock on this radio station that goes out across the country. So CBS Sports Radio down the hall. It's a national network that we have here. I worked there for 3 years with Brian Jones, DA, Sean Marash were down there. Maggie and Perloff, you got Zach Gelb, you got everybody over there. So the CBS Sports Minute, the Odyssey Sports Minute, CBS Sports Minute that Boomer does, is not, you don't just hear it here. It goes across all of the affiliates that CBS Sports Radio has, whatever the number is now. And that's like affiliates within our company. So it's a, like Maggie and Perloff are not picked up by the Sports Hub and not the Sports Hub, EEI in Boston, the Score, all our stations. But the Sports Minute is cleared everywhere. So every station that's an affiliate in any way with Odyssey, that's a sports station, gets that Sports Minute. So he says this he has this sports where he's talking about the women's tournament.
How
excited he was about the win. And I could do nothing but laugh. I'm sorry, Dawn Staley, that I'm laughing, but I am. So he does the Sports Minute where he is talking about how excited he is about the women's tournament. He mentions Angel Reese. He mentions Caitlin Clark. And then he mentions South Carolina, which is the number one team in the nation, and a giant Brazilian woman that he did not name by name, but said this for effect because she was just in the news for knocking over the LSU player. So he's like, oh, that giant Brazilian woman who's pushing everybody around. So he's doing an entertaining talk show thing. So Dawn Staley, the head coach of South Carolina, happens to be listening to one of these affiliates somewhere in South Carolina. It's like 107.5 The Game or something. She hears a sportsman and is like highly offended by one of her players being called a giant Brazilian woman. So she tweets about it, and then JR has to issue an apology, and then CBS Sports somehow, I don't, who from CBS Sports? Like, they're not even really CBS Sports. It said CBS Sports and an apology, but all right, so it's CBS Sports Radio, but CBS has nothing to do with that. It's a name only now, since the companies has changed and everything. So I don't even know who that was. It was Marinick. Certainly wasn't Stephen Waldron. He had nothing to do with this. So then it becomes a thing. So the reason why I'm laughing at this is I know how this whole thing happened. So Billy Jockalone out there, a little Blue Balls Billy, our friend, he's the one who like gets this thing and puts it in, and then it goes out. He has no idea what happened yesterday. No clue until 2 minutes ago.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm talking to him about it. He's like, I just found out. Like, and it's like national news everywhere. And Billy's the one. So I was thinking if Chernoff were still here, and I love you, Mark, but if Chernoff were still here, he would have yelled at Billy for putting that in. He would have taken his anger out on Billy Jockalone for putting that in.
Why? What did he do?
You're the producer.
Yeah, but you and know, you should know better. You're supposed to listen. You agree with me, right?
And he's the littlest target.
Right. So I was afraid that someone, I said, did anybody give you crap about that? He's like, no, I just found out about it 2 minutes ago. But Chernoff definitely would have done that. He'd be like, what? You got to listen to it. You got to put that in now. Look at what you've done now. I would know better.
I would
have
put it in.
Right. I probably would have
listen,
too.
Eddie can vouch for me. I took a double take when I heard it. I said, did he just say...
We all did.
Right, yeah. But I never thought
but
in a way...
But not from a, like an offensive standpoint. No. But it was just like comical.
It was like, that's how he described it? Okay.
All right.
But that was it. I didn't think it'd be a thing.
Well, I'm going to ask you this now. If that were Zach Gelb and not JR, would Zach Gelb be on the air still?
I would hope so. Again, I didn't think anything of it.
All right.
I don't know.
I always try.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm just being honest. I feel like a white talk show host says that, he's done. I think he's done. I think he's fired and done. No, I'm serious. I think I don't think it's offensive. The way that Dawn Staley reacted, somebody would have gone nuts about this. You see the way it was covered? You see how awful announcing put it out there?
No.
That's shockingly offensive.
The
comments.
Only thing I saw was awful announcing because you
shockingly
sent it.
Shockingly offensive.
I didn't see it anywhere else.
Thank God no one else really got in trouble for this because that would have been a problem. It would have been a cancel situation. But this was, honestly, this was close to being that. 100%.
If I was playing in college sports and someone wrote... He was trying to make the point about how excited he was about the women's game, about the women's tournament coming up. So if I was playing baseball and the college baseball World Series is coming up and someone did a sports minute and said, and I love that guy from Old Dominion, that small Italian guy. How is that?
All right. Well, it's women's basketball first off, right? So that's one thing already that they're fighting against. And when you call a woman a giant... Right? Like, that's
She's
something.
Bigger than everybody else.
I'm playing devil's advocate. So Dawn Staley feels that, like, this is a woman with a name who has worked her ass off. You can't just across the country call her a giant Brazilian. That's what she's saying.
Okay. Well, clearly, I mean, he apologized for it, but when I heard it, I did not think this would be a thing.
Right. Me either. We sat there, played it back, and laughed because we thought it was entertaining. But what Dawn Staley is claiming is that you're...
I'll tell you what he made me do. He made me Google the South Carolina basketball team to see who
we
exactly
got her name.
He
we
made.
Said her name.
We all did,
yeah, and not in a bad way, in a good way.
Right.
Because I'm thinking, huh, I know Caitlin Clark, I know Reese. I'm like, who's he talking about?
Yeah, and then we looked it up.
And now, right, wrong, or indifferent, I've got more interest now in watching South Carolina, and I know they're the number one team. Okay, great. I'm not a women's college basketball fan.
Right.
Now I might be more inclined to watch it in a good way.
And let me tell you, I did not find it offensive. I don't think it's offensive this morning. I have JR's back on this. Obviously, I'm just telling you, Dawn Staley's reaction to it would have gotten a talk show host fired if that was an older white talk show host. I'm telling you right now. Because that coming from... And out of touch, because then all of a sudden that person's a locked-in racist. You see how this cancel stuff works? Come on! If that was some guy in Indiana, like, you know, Don the Lemon Martucci, who's been on the air in Indiana for 25 years, goes, that giant Brazilian woman? He'd be done! He'd be fired immediately once Dawn Staley tweeted that. I could guarantee you that 100%.
The same way I didn't contemplate that being offensive, I didn't even contemplate that being a thing. So maybe. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, it was just, I couldn't. But when I saw that stuff come across my phone yesterday, I was like, what? That sports minute we were talking about?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better.
because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Odyssey celebrates Mother's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.